Hi, y'all. My name is Anna, and welcome back to the Girls Gather podcast. Today, I'm with the queen of calculated casual herself, Miss Sophia. I still don't know how to pronounce her last name after over a year and a half of friendship.
Oh, welcome. My gosh.
This is Sophia, one of my absolute best friends, one of the most wise women I know. And today, we're going to talk about showing up authentically on social media, the calculated casual trend, saying no, just a whole abundance of things. But Soph, do you want to introduce yourself a little bit? Tell us who you are, all the things.
I feel so unprepared. I'm Sophia, and I don't know.
And you what?
I don't know. I feel on the spot. You like cut this out later, but as Anna says, I am the inventor of calculated casual. I'm not the inventor of it, but I am I really like calculated casual, and I think it's a very fun trend going on right now.
So. You put the name to it, though.
I think I did put the name to it.
Yeah, you branded the trend.
I've just been calling it calculated casual because I think it's very fun, and everyone should make their Instagrams casual.
Yeah. We're totally for the hashtag make Instagram casual again. I wish I was the creator of that, but I am not, sadly. Soph is a marketing major.
Yeah.
PR minor. All things journalism and I don't know. Tell them, what's your specialty?
I work for the Banner. Super fun. Shout out anyone who actually reads it. I love journalism and content creating, editing, social media, marketing, graphic design, anything creative.
If you need a logo, hit her up.
Yeah, hit me up if you need a logo. I'll do it for free because I want the experience. Self-taught at most things, but I think it's just fun to kind of try your hand at anything you can.
Yeah, so. I agree. I think, you know, we're both really big on that. I feel like we just kind of...
Yeah, every week it's like, I started doing this. This is one more thing I'm adding to my plate. What about you?
That really kind of sums up our weekly
every
coffee dates.
Every single time, yeah.
last week I was like, oh God, I was telling friends, I'm like, I'm starting a podcast. They're like, Anna, that's like your fourth podcast.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, I know.
I'm like, I got an internship. And I'm like, oh, I already work a 30-hour job. Oh, I already do all these other things. Oh yeah, this won't be a problem at all. This is going to be great.
So as you can see, we kind of really like to be busy, which...
We just keep affirming the busyness in each other.
I don't know how healthy that is, but we definitely do it.
Well, Anna doesn't watch TikTok, but I mean, if anyone listening watched TikTok, did you download TikTok?
I did not download TikTok.
Oh, but there's this trend where it's just two people like affirming each other, and then at the end, it's like two friends who, like two anxious best friends who just like fill their plates up. Like that would be us, like because we're just like constantly like affirming all the craziness and all the things that we do because we're like, oh, that's so good.
Yeah,
this is gonna be really good.
Great idea.
And then like a month later we're just like,
we can't
feeling
breathe.
Exhausted. I can't breathe, but like I'm taking a break this weekend.
I feel like I always am like, this semester is gonna be so chill, like I have so much time, and then the next time I see you I'm like, oh my gosh, but there's this opportunity and this opportunity.
Yeah.
And like I think I have time for them, and
that's
you're like
the, yeah, that's the problem when you view everything as an opportunity. You can't turn it away. No, but I do that too. You like, you feel bad turning it away because you're like, well, it's an opportunity, and like, I don't wanna
wow.
not do well with what I've been given.
Oh, I have no words because that's so true. I view everything as an opportunity, even if it's something that's not really going to benefit me.
No, and you pick one little item of it, and you're like, well, this will benefit me in this way.
Yeah, or I'm like,
or
it's
like,
an opportunity to serve others or, like, help someone.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Well, I think that can go into one of our questions for today, which is – or I guess more of our topic, which is saying no and not overwhelming your schedule, which is kind of the complete opposite of
I don't know how to
what
do
we
that,
just talked
so.
About. I feel like we're slowly getting
I
there.
I think the biggest shift I've had from doing things for me and like not overwhelming myself is to make sure each thing that I'm doing, there's purpose behind it, mm-hmm. and the benefit is me and not others. And I'm a very, like, I want to do things for other people and, like, I want to help others. But I've started to only take up things and, like, selfishly just take up things that benefit me.
I actually love that. And I think people listening, if they're not like us, they might think that that's really weird.
I think if you can find an opportunity and everything to serve others, but you need to make sure your goal behind what you're doing isn't always serving others.
Always serving others.
And you're getting actually something out of it, which might, some people might be like, well, that sounds selfish. But like, if you're constantly trying to do things for others.
For everyone but yourself.
Then it's like a very necessary skill to have.
That is so true. And like, if you know anything about the Enneagram, we are both twos. Always got to throw that in there.
Hardcore twos.
Hardcore twos. And
yeah.
So that is so true. I love that. Honestly, I need to reevaluate like everything in my planner through that lens. But I agree. Something I did at the beginning of the school year, so in like August, was I saw this from someone. I think it was from Alyssa and Jefferson Bethke. And they write out, I think it was them. I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure. And they write out like every activity or commitment they have on a separate note card. And then they write like how many hours a week it's going to like take for them.
Mm-hmm.
And so from there, they can kind of dwindle out like, they can choose the things that are most important to them. And I think it just is so beneficial to see everything you're really committed to,
mm-hmm.
at least if you're like us, because I don't realize how many things I actually have on my plate until I see it like that. And my dining room table was covered in note cards. And I was like, there's no way I can do this all. And so I started having to say no to things. And at first it sucked, but like ultimately I've been able to just do so much better in the things that I am committed to. And it's kind of, I don't know, it's freeing to know that everything you're committed to does have purpose in it. And I think that's a reminder for me, even when I do feel like overwhelmed or busy, is to be able to look back on like the purpose and the importance of the things I have said yes to.
And even like saying yes to yourself and like being like, I'm going to do this like a self-care, you know, evening or day.
I hate self-care.
Why?
Everyone out there like listening is like, who is this girl? I hate self-care.
Like the concept of self-care?
I don't know how to self-care. It's like not in my nature. I don't even know how to relax. I try to relax. I'm like, okay, Anna, just sit here and relax. My shoulders are like tense and I'm like thinking about my to-do list. Everyone is like, Anna, you need to schedule self-care into your life.
Oh, no.
Like,
I don't think self-care should be scheduled. I think that defeats the purpose of self-care because you're, like, you're telling your body when to relax instead of listening to your body when you need to relax. And I think that that's...
wow.
Stop.
I love that.
Like, for me, I'm going to do what I can with the time I have. And if I read this thing, like, last week, and it was like, you need to treat like mental health like you do your physical health. Like if you are feeling sick, you take a day off and you don't do anything. And you know, you watch TV or you go on your phone and you don't feel guilty about it because you're like, well, I'm sick.
Mm.
And like if you're having like a sad day or an anxious day or like an overwhelming day, it's okay to be like, no, I'm taking a sick day. But people
That's
feel
so
guilty.
Countercultural.
I know, but people feel guilty about like taking mental health days. Because it's like, oh, well, like, I could be doing things that are better.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, rest is productive, which is a lesson Anna needs to learn.
I can't do nothing.
But
like,
I think
I
it's not just,
it.
It's not like you're doing nothing. Like, you just have to find things.
That's true.
That are, like, for me, it's reading. And I've been trying to, like, I really enjoy reading, but I never made time for it because I was like, well, it's not, like, productive.
I feel
but
selfish.
If it makes you relaxed and you're enjoying your time.
That's true.
Then it is productive because you're doing it for you.
Yeah, that's true. I think I also just said like 2 seconds ago that I suck at like doing nothing or resting, but it's just like hitting me that like it's okay to suck at it. You can still do it.
Like,
I do so many things that I'm not great at, but like I still
and people
do them.
Find rest in different ways. Like for me, I'm not a napper. I hate taking naps. I can't just like fall asleep during the day. and then I don't sleep at night. Like, I'd rather just go to bed early. Like, I'd rather just get whatever I need to done. But for me, like, laying down and watching some TV or, like, playing a game on my phone, that's restful. Or, like, reading, taking an hour out of my day to read, that's restful for me. And so it's just finding other ways that are, like, you get rest from. It doesn't have to be sleeping.
It can be sleeping.
It can be sleeping. But, like, if you don't get rest from sleeping, like, if you wake up every day and you're like, I'm
still
feel
tired.
Like I didn't sleep at all, well, then you may just need to rest more.
Yeah.
But that doesn't have to mean sleeping.
Like, if I sleep too much, I feel like it does the opposite of rest for me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I think I need to find my, like, self-care, restful activities. I need to, like, discover that.
Yeah, what brings you joy?
Work.
Okay.
No. I'm just kidding. I don't know. I just, like, I love people. I think that's a hard thing for me, even in this season, is, like, self-care and, like, rest for me. I think you can do it alone, but I also think you can rest with others. And, like, being an extrovert, that's something that I really like to do, but that's something that is kind of non-existent with, like, COVID. Like, I can't have, like, a relaxing movie night or, like, you know?
I think it's also, like, important to push yourself to be alone. And that's something not, like, resolutions for the new year, but one of my goals for 2021 was to, like, spend time alone every day. Mm-hmm. And then I get to CBU, and they're like, you're going to live alone. And I was like, okay. So I've been spending time alone every day, not by choice, but by force, and I love it.
I grew to love living alone
it's
this past
so,
summer.
Like, just, but there's something about, like, just being alone and getting to do, like, what you need to do
mm-hmm.
for yourself and, like, choosing your own routine and, like, managing your time. It's just different, and it's really nice. It's okay to be alone.
I just hate doing things by myself. Like, my 2021 goals, I think I have them on my notes. I'm going to find them.
I have mine
but,
on my notes.
Yeah, this is totally off topic, but this is so fun. Okay, so normally I'm, like, a crazy goal-setting person, but this year I chose 3 words, which is different. I normally only choose 1 word, and then I have a few little things that I really want to do. So my words were refinement, hope, and simplicity, and then my little bullet point, like, actual kind of goals are go outside and soak in fresh air every day, whether that be for, like, 2 minutes or, like, 2 hours. Actually read the whole Bible. I feel like every year I'm like, I'm going to read the Bible in a year. And somehow in January I get off track. But let me just say that we are a week into February and I'm still on track. So there's that.
I remember you doing this last year.
Last year?
See, like, because we were going to, I was doing the Bible study and you're like, oh no, I'm doing my own read a Bible in a year thing.
Yeah, it didn't happen.
Yeah.
But so far, so good. Like, so far, we are actually doing pretty great. And then be bold in sharing the gospel. And then my last thing is go to the beach by myself, which sounds so weird.
No, I think that's
But I
fun.
Hate doing
I
things by myself. And I've never gone to the beach by myself in my whole life. And that feels weird.
I haven't either, but I also didn't live by, like, we didn't have beaches
yeah,
where
that's
I live. So
me
neither
either.
Did you. So I don't
know. But it just, it felt right.
Yeah,
so.
I get that. I think that's fun. I'm bad with goals because I'll make them and then I never look at my goals again. And so I get to the end of the year and I'm like, wait, I said these, like, you know, 12 months ago? And I had, like, no idea.
This isn't my handwriting.
I know. So I'm trying to be more purposeful about it. And, like, I wrote them down.
Mm-hmm.
And I even had an idea. I thought of it today. So I like to go to, like, Home Depot and Lowe's and get those, like, paint samples,
yeah.
you know? And I was thinking it'd be really smart on, like, the fridge. This might sound weird, but, like, if you're tracking with me, I think it'd be cool. So you write one goal, like, on the paint sample.
Mm-hmm.
I just like the paint. It can be note cards. I just think the
paint
samples
are cooler.
Like, yeah, it's, like, aesthetically pleasing. And, like, either tape them or, like, magnet them to, like, your fridge or your wall. And then once you've, like, completed a goal, like, move it to the other side.
Mm.
So then, like, because I was thinking, like, the side of the fridge could have, like, the goals that I'm working on.
Yeah.
And the front of the fridge could have, like, the ones I've completed. And so it's, like, an accomplishment of, like, I did that. Like, 2 months in, I've already done that. Or
that's
I'm working,
so
you know.
Fun.
And so, and then you have them, like, visually every day being, like, okay, I need to do that. Like, I need to work on that. And, like, walking past them or having them up there is, like, an encouragement.
Yeah.
Versus
no,
being,
like
6
that.
Months in and you're, like, you find your, you know, crumpled up paper of goals and you're like, oh, I haven't done any of these. Try again next year.
I like that you said too, it's like a celebration almost to mm-hmm. put it to the other side. And that's something I've actually been thinking about so much lately is I am like the party queen. I love celebrations. I love like planning people's birthday parties, but I never celebrate myself or like anything
I
do. Like absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
And that's something I need to like get better at. I don't know if that sounds weird or selfish, but
no, I look at things like that as like, oh, I'm just completing a task. And people will be like, congratulations. And I'm like, but like, and I'm like, oh, thank you. But then in my head, I'm like, why? Like, it's not that big of a deal. I'm doing what I have to. I'm completing a task.
Even like graduating the semester.
Yeah.
Like my mom is like, Anna, this is a huge deal. Like, are you so excited? Like, let's do all these things. Like, yay. And I'm like, okay, yeah, like this is something to celebrate, but it kind of just feels like, oh,
you're
it's like a goal
a
I've been working on for
yeah.
4 years and I can finally check it off.
Mm-hmm.
Like it doesn't feel like a
you don't
milestone
realize the
or like
momentum and things that have been building up to that moment.
Yeah.
Because you're just in it and you're like, well, I'm just trying to check the box.
Exactly. And that's like so weird. But I need to like that's something I need to fix. Before I know it, I'm gonna be like my wedding is just going to be like something to check off my to-do list.
We are a task-oriented society, and that is how we do. I was thinking about, we were talking about this in one of my classes, and like when you go hang out with friends, it's not like, it's at least in my case, I feel like it's very rarely, oh, let's just get together and like hang out. It's like, oh, hey, do you want to go do this with me? Like, let's go to Target. So you're like multitasking. Like, let's go get coffee, which coffee is a way too, but like, again, you're doing two things.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, okay, how many things can I check off at once? You know?
Oh, that is actually so true, though. It's like, also, especially with COVID, too, it's so much less, like, let's just hang out. That, like, absolutely never happens anymore. At all. But, side note topic, and you can cut me off if you don't want to talk about it, but, how does it feel like planning a wedding and a celebration for yourself? Like, does that feel weird? Because that's something you don't normally like celebrate yourself either.
No, I hate it. I like feel bad saying this, but I'm not excited yet because I just feel like there's all these things I have to do and I don't like people's input in my life. And I know that might sound like bad, but I'm not good with like feedback because I'm like, I'm going to do it this way and I don't want you to tell me how to do it. And so when you're planning like a wedding, there's a lot of people telling you how certain things need to be and like certain people you have to invite or certain ways and like things and how you have to talk to it. Like there's just all these things and everyone feels like they get a say in what's going on. And there are certain things where I'm like, okay, like I appreciate the help. Like I don't know what I'm doing. Then there's other things where I'm like, I'm not, you have no ground to stand on. Like, I'm not listening to you about this. So, but there's been many times where I'm just like, screw it, not having a wedding. I'm not doing it. And then like 10 minutes later, I'm like, oh, okay.
Okay.
I'm fine now.
We'll do it.
Yeah.
I guess if I have to.
But it is, it's hard planning something for yourself.
It's so weird.
Because I just think of like how I want to make it fun for everyone else.
Yeah.
And I just want to do things so that other people like walk in and they're like, oh, that's really cool. Like, that's a really cool detail. And like,
so now that I'm thinking about this, like, I haven't really thought about this before until right now, but even like birthday parties and stuff, like, I never plan my own birthday party. Like, I don't really plan.
The ones I did plan for myself were always my favorite. Because I felt like I had like control over the situation. I like to have control.
Don't we both?
But like, or if people were like, oh, I did this for your birthday party, like as a surprise. I'm like, I don't want that because I wasn't calculated in my head. So like, you just threw in this whole random puzzle piece and it doesn't fit and I can't. So.
Well, I can't wait for your wedding. In a year we can have a what it's like to be married for a month. Podcast.
Oh,
you'll literally be married for like a month or so.
Yeah, a month yesterday.
Yeah. So, okay, put it on the on the books.
It's only 11 months away, which feels so long, but also I like that
it's going to go by so fast.
I know. That's what everyone's saying. I know. I've already had I was going to have, my bridal shower and, over Thanksgiving break, and I already had someone tell me. They're like, yeah, I probably can't come if it's over that. And I'm like, that Thanksgiving is in 10 months? How are you already declining?
Also, it's, still COVID. How do you have plans already for, everything's changing every day? I wish I could have plans for that much. But don't worry. As I'm making my plans for the future, I am also on the side looking up plane tickets back to Sacramento.
Oh, yeah. So, I know. That's one of the crazy things with, having so many – everyone being so spread out is you're only – I've been, doing a lot of research into, when you're supposed to send, save the dates and, invitations. And you're only supposed to send save the dates out 4 to 6 months in advance. And I feel like
hard.
That is so soon. And I was like, but then if it's a destination wedding, it's 8 months. And I'm like, but if majority of everyone invited has to travel, doesn't that technically make it like a
destination wedding?
Because I was looking and I had to write out, I was writing out all the addresses that I already have. Mm-hmm. And it's less than 10 people that actually live in the city that I'm having it.
That's so crazy.
Because everybody's Southern California, Washington, other parts of America or other countries. And I have to send them out. It's a destination wedding.
It really
it
is.
It really is. Because everyone
That's
has
so
to
funny.
Either drive really far or fly and they have to plan it out. It's not we'll just drive 15 minutes. No.
That's so crazy.
A majority of people will be coming into town.
Wow.
Which is really weird, too.
That's weird. My mom's kind of offended. She's probably listening to this. But if I get this internship, and so if I go, I don't want to talk about it on here, really. But if I go away and I get this, I'm probably not going to come home for Christmas. Mm-hmm. But I told my mom I was going to come home for your wedding.
Oh,
and
my
she
God.
Was like, what? I was like, well, yeah, Sophie only gets married once. There's Christmas every year.
Stop. That is so funny.
So
I appreciate it.
I was like, it's a few weeks after Christmas.
Sorry,
you'll see me anyways. So
it's pretty close. You could just come home for Christmas and then just stay for the holidays.
I wonder how long they'll
give
me if I get it.
Because it's only a week after.
See.
I don't know.
Okay. What should we talk about next? That was a whole little wedding tangent, but
yeah.
I love it. I love it. let's just talk about, how to show up authentically on social media.
I guess that ties into calculated
casual.
That's
what I was thinking.
Too, yeah.
First of all, explain to the people what calculated casual is, because until this was a groundbreaking thing. You've probably seen it, but
I think people
you don't know the name of
it. Yeah, so I am very into social media trends and just social media and understanding the algorithm and how it works and stuff. And if you might have noticed this or not, but people are posting a lot more casual parts of their life, and it's a lot more real life posts and just people aren't, it's not anymore those posed photos where it's everything, the person looks super happy, and it's a lot more real. It's a lot more casual. And so I was telling Anna and I were talking about social media trends, and I was like, yeah, well, it's calculated casual because you want to look casual. You don't want to look posed, but you want it to be a cute post.
Yeah.
So it's casual, but it's calculated.
It's like the messy bun of Instagram.
Yeah. You want to look like you just rolled out of bed, but you also want to be cute and you want your post to succeed and stuff. So yeah, calculated casual. I'm very into it right now. I think I love that Instagram's becoming more casual because it just takes off that pressure.
Oh yeah.
To have to have this perfect feed. People are I'm not speaking for society as a whole, but I'm saying from what I have experienced and seen, people aren't using filters as much anymore. Mm-hmm. The over edited, overly saturated photos. It's just it's not cool anymore. People
want
to see the raw, real parts of life.
Yeah. It's very much more
and
just
I think it's
transparent.
It's nice.
So true. I am the farthest thing from an influencer. quick side note, I haven't told you this story, but my friend Ryan, who was on the last episode of the podcast, yesterday we were asking him how he introduces us to his friends, and he told me that he tells his friends that I'm an influencer.
Really?
And I was like, what? I am not an influencer. I have like 600 followers. Like, calm down. But I thought it was so funny. But I am not an influencer in the slightest. But the pressure that I used to put, okay, I still slightly put it on myself, but mostly in the past, the pressure I would put on myself for my Instagram was astronomical. Like, Marina has lived with me for 3 years, and she probably can't even count on both hands how many times I've, like, shed tears over, like, getting an Instagram photo. Isn't that – I can't believe I'm admitting this to all the people of the internet right now, but – I'm, like, being dead serious.
Yeah, I think that's why I, like, casual Instagram is so great, because it takes away that stress.
Yeah.
And I think as brands and companies start showing their more, like, personal side, you know, like, people want to know who's the faces behind, like, a company, and, like, are they, like, ethically sourced and sustainable and all that stuff. People are just, they want to be real. They want that realness from companies. They want them from their friends, actual influencers, and like YouTubers and like celebrities. Oh, maybe not celebrities, but like people have been posting more real stuff.
Yeah.
And it's just like random casual posts of their like coffee, and they're like, walk to coffee this morning. And you're like, oh, that's so cool. Like,
cool.
And you just feel like you have a better glimpse into their life because it's not so posed.
Yeah. I mean, even with podcasts in general, like, taking off and being such a huge kind of trend but also new outlet, like, one of the biggest things about it is how real it is and how you kind of just feel like you're having a conversation with someone. And so I feel like the shift to, like, a more casual Instagram is kind of that same thing. Like, you really just feel like you're living life with someone and you're seeing those glimpses of them, and it's less curated and – I don't know. I think it mirrors kind of society in general right now. Like, we're also all, like, not doing anything crazy. Yeah. So
I think people are really real in their, like, stories. And then it's starting to just transfer over into feed posts.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Because I think stories have always been, like, a more natural place.
Yeah, it's only there for 24 hours. There's no pressure. It's not contributing to, like, this overall aesthetic that you have to keep up with.
And, like, honestly, when did, like, a cohesive feed even become a thing?
I don't know. It's hard to, like, think of years. But I just remember when, like, everything needed to be, like, an all-white feed.
Like, you know? I remember in high school, I had, like, Instagram themes. Like, if you, like, scroll back on my Instagram, or, like, I remember watching, like, how to have a cohesive, like, feed YouTube videos.
I remember always, like, thinking it was very cool, but I didn't have the willpower or like, capabilities to fulfill that. So,
which, it's just so funny. The things I used to post, and then, like, look at.
Oh, yeah, the white borders.
I wish y'all could see what I'm looking at right now, but I had, like, white borders, and I would literally post whatever I wanted. Like, here's my frozen yogurt.
I think I did the white borders thing for a while because it was, like, but I don't know.
I'm also one of the only people that haven't gone back and, like, archived all my old posts.
I archived a lot of old posts of just, like, people who weren't in my life anymore. And, you know, you scroll on Instagram, I'm like, oh, that makes me sad because I don't know them anymore.
Yeah, I feel like, I don't know, I'm figuring out this whole calculated casual thing, but I just don't want to think about what I post anymore.
Like, the other day I posted a photo of coffee that I had gotten, and a friend like treated it for me, and it got like 35 likes, and I was just, but it's also fun because I had to like force myself not to care.
Yeah.
And it was like, it was a good practice of being like, well, it shouldn't matter.
It's challenging me in the fact of like, who am I posting for?
Yeah.
Because I posted a photo like literally of me sitting in the parking lot at church, like at outdoor church.
Yeah.
And I thought it was, like, cute, but also more so, like, I really loved, like, my caption, and I was just talking about, like, my attitude on church and all the things that have happened in the past year. And I got, like, 50-something likes, and that's not normal. And I was like, should I take it down? And then I was like, no, but like,
yeah.
I like this photo. I love the content in the caption, and I'm going to post things that represent me.
Yeah.
And like, that's the end of it. There's, let me find it.
Yeah. Like my last post, I just wanted to like post a fun thing in my coffee. Also, it's a way to like say, to show how cool my friend was for like sending me money and, you know, just like a little thank you and like that. And she was like my one comment, and it's like, but that she saw it. It was for
yeah.
her. That should be the only thing that matters.
Wait, actually, I love that. It was for her. Like at
yeah.
the end of the day,
like when you write a happy, when you do a happy birthday post for someone, you don't care how many likes you get because it's
no.
for the person. So you just have to, it's like every, treat every post like a happy birthday post.
Treat every post like a happy birthday post. Honestly, I kind of love that.
Yeah, I've also been wanting to, like, get more creative with my posts, and I want to do, like, fun colors and, like, designs in the background and just do...
I think it's so fun.
I just want to do... I want my Instagram to reflect me as I am authentically and not this person I want everyone to think I am. And I love
yeah.
that Instagram's moving towards that.
Let me see. Okay. This is kind of defeating the point of us talking about this, but I posted this a long time ago and then I archived it because I don't think it like got likes or I didn't like it with my feed or whatever. We're growing, okay, in this department. But it was just like a photo of, I had like written this in my journal, but it's a Bible verse. It's Psalm 107:2, and it's just let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story. And so upon reflecting on that, I was basically saying that I love this platform. I love sharing. I love the connecting of it. But like these moments we see on our feeds are curated and they don't always tell the full story. And how, what if I look back one day on like my Instagram feed in these little squares and they don't even like tell my story or like they're not, you know, like,
yeah,
they're, it's like all made up.
Yeah. I love
I don't,
looking back at my Instagram of like from high school and I'm like, that is, like, this is so fun. Like, I miss these moments. And then I think of all the posts I didn't, all the things I didn't post during
yeah.
high school because I was like, it's not going to get any likes. Like, it's not that cute. And then I look back or I remember the photos. I'm like, those were cute, though. And, like, I should have posted them because it was a memory. And that's what Instagram is. It's like a diary almost of these, like, photos and you get to see the funny comments people put who maybe it's someone you haven't talked to in like 5 years, but
yeah.
they were close then and the comments funny. And that's what should matter is that you're having fun with it. Am I pleasing other people?
Well, and I want people that like, I don't know or who, I don't know. I think especially like on campus here, I follow so many people that I haven't really met in real life. And they follow me, but if I end up meeting them, I don't want them to be like, oh, your Instagram is such a false representation of
yeah,
you.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, like
I think Instagram should be a snapshot into someone's life or into who they are.
Yeah. And so I don't think there's necessarily any like perfect like Instagram theme for your feed or anything.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and when we're all trying to like copy and have like a white, aesthetically like bright feed, like it's just so like repetitive and honestly boring. Like I would rather, like our Instagrams are so different, but in that it represents like us.
Yeah,
you know,
when you have fun with it and you're just doing what is fun for you and that the aesthetic or the, you know, whatever theme comes from that is going to represent you and your aesthetic versus trying to find and be like an aesthetic that's not your own.
Yeah, you can be your own. Like, you are your own personal
yeah,
brand,
like when
and
I,
your Instagram
at,
can be built
if I
on
look
that.
At Anna's Instagram, the colors, the people, the smiles, I'm like, oh, that's Anna.
Yeah.
And, like, I have other people, I look at their Instagram, and I'm like, oh, like, this fits them.
Mm-hmm.
But that only comes from actually being authentic on social media and not trying to be someone else.
Yeah, 100%. Oh, I love this shift. I think it's just, I don't know, I'm obsessed with the slogan calculated casual. And
I said that so offhand randomly.
And I wrote it down in my notes.
And Anna was just like, I love that. I'm
and
obsessed.
I've told literally every single person about it because I think it's great. Calculated casual, just wait. When I like meet with a client next, I'm going to be like, no, this is the new trend. Calculated casual.
I love it. I think it represents it well.
Yeah. And that's even what I want to see from, like, not just people, but brands too. I think, like, behind the scenes stuff and just, like, day to day, like, that's where it's really at.
Yeah, like, I love when companies or brands post stories of, like, day in the life as a, I don't know, like, social media intern, or day in the life as a sales manager, and you get to see what they do in a day, and you're like, oh, this is so cool, like, that's what their office looks like, and this is how they spend their day, and that's their favorite place to get coffee, and it's just, it's more fun because it feels more personable.
Yeah. Well, and I think also we're, like, we still have celebrities, but influencers are becoming such a huge thing. And
totally.
The whole thing with, like, influencers is it's less about, I think with celebrities, it's like we elevate these people to be above us.
Yeah.
And with influencers, it's more of how can we connect and relate
with
them.
Yeah, it feels like they're just regular people. And I think most influencers, if you actually ask them, they're like, oh, I hate being called an influencer. But then content creator also just sounds less than what it is.
Yeah.
So I don't know what to call them. Influencers, just like everyone knows that. So it's just more natural, I guess. But yeah, it feels more personable. Like when you're watching a YouTube video, you're like, oh, it feels like you're their friend. And
then
you're telling someone else, like one of my favorite YouTubers is Aspen Obard. I've been watching her since like middle school. And so I feel like I know them.
Yeah.
And I'll be like telling a story and I'm like, oh my gosh, like, today Aspen did this, and I'm like, I don't know her, she doesn't know me, but I feel like I have this friendship with her because she's shown her life in a real way.
Well, since she was like a teenager,
you
know, so
and
you
now
feel
she has like a child,
her.
And I remember like when she had her baby and I was like, oh my gosh, like
I'm an aunt.
Yeah, that's a good one. I started being really excited for her because I felt like I knew her.
So true. Okay, this is really, really off. I don't even know if I'm going to put it in here. But do you remember when we found out that we kind of know Taylor Swift? And then acted like I was best friends with her.
I was thinking about this the other day because the ladies from that group have been posting some very outlandish things on Facebook regarding current events.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, goodness gracious. But I was thinking about that, how she was, that lady was so casually like, oh yeah, when she was with Justin, and oh yeah, her time with Taylor, and I was like, what is, and Anna and I just being like, what is,
basically,
oh my god.
Our small group leader's daughter was Taylor Swift's backup singer.
For like one of her tours, like
a long time ago, but they're like, they were really good friends, and it's so crazy, if we look back on like, paparazzi photos, like we can see her daughter
in
them.
Anna and I were being a little too invasive.
Yeah.
But it was just one of those things where she was talking about it so casually. We were like, this is, I'm sorry. What?
Yeah, we didn't realize as she was saying like her daughter and Taylor. And then when we realized, we were like, wait.
Yeah.
We know Taylor Swift, which we don't, but.
Well, it's
like
that thing where you can connect yourself to anyone like six times or through six people. That's like the statistic, I think, or anyone can be connected to anyone in the world through six people.
Which is so true. When you told me that at first, I was like mind blown, but honestly, I think it's so true.
Yeah.
So true. Also, like.
Like, I know someone whose roommate dated JoJo Siwa's brother. So I technically, through a line of people, know JoJo Siwa. And JoJo, does that make sense?
Yeah.
So just how, like, we know someone whose daughter knows Taylor Swift. So through people, we know Taylor Swift, and she knows other celebrities, so we know those celebrities, and so you can connect yourself.
So everyone Taylor Swift knows, I know, basically. That's what I'm going to tell people.
Pretty much, because you know someone who knows her, so you're connected.
Wow. Should put that on my resume.
Because it'd be like if you met Taylor Swift, you're like, okay, you're a backup dancer from a really long time ago, her mom was my song leader, and she'll be like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
And then she understands that connection.
Yeah. So, oh, wow.
I was thinking about that the other day.
I love it. Taylor Swift. What a woman.
I love Taylor Swift.
What a woman. You know, okay, Taylor Swift actually segues into this really well, this next question.
I'm excited to see how she segues.
I was trying to think of how to segue this. So, Taylor Swift, the queen, is really big on taking social media breaks.
I'm not good at social media breaks.
I'm not either.
I don't honestly feel like I need social media breaks. And I
really
people will say like, oh, I'm taking a break from social media. And I have never once felt the urge or need to take a break from social media.
That is so interesting to me.
I guess people take breaks because what they feel like consumed by social media, or they just feel like it's,
I don't know. So last semester, or maybe last year, I don't know, at one point, one semester in college, every Sunday I didn't go on social media,
mm-hmm.
and it felt like so life-giving. But I would actually agree. Now I don't feel the need to take a break as much, but I also think that's because I, like, have dwindled down the amount of people I follow. Like,
oh, I did that last year, and it was one of the best things I've ever done. Was I only follow people that I know.
Yeah, I was thinking about that.
And select celebrities that I, or influencers that I actually care about that don't make me in turn feel bad about myself, which is not their doing.
But
I don't want to look at someone's post and feel bad about myself, which is no one's fault but my own, but that's something to work. What's the point of following people that make you feel bad about yourself?
Honestly, I did that the other day. I unfollowed so many people from high school that I haven't talked to in like 5 years.
Oh my gosh, I follow,
you know,
everyone,
or like even people from CBU that I don't really know,
mm-hmm.
and like I feel like just following them gives me this false idea that like I know so many people and I'm friends with all these people, when in reality I know absolutely nothing about
mm-hmm.
them or their life. And so that was really life-giving. But yeah, I don't know, I don't think I could ever just like disappear.
I know
off social
like
media.
People who will just delete social media for like months. Like one of my closest friends
mm-hmm.
does that, and we'll be together and I'm like, oh, did you see my last Instagram post? And she's like, no, I deleted Instagram. And this, she does that all the time. And some people do it for like distraction. They're like, I can't,
yeah.
I get too distracted. Like, I just don't.
I could never, but also like my job is social media. Could you imagine if we just like disappeared from social media? We'd be so in the dark.
I know. That's how, like during the like election and stuff, like I watched
mm-hmm.
so much news, which some people would have been like, well, that's like, you know, too much news
mm-hmm.
makes your brain rot. But I was like, I work for a newspaper.
Yeah, you have to.
I need to know what's going on. Like I have to, like, and it can be all consuming, and that's just kind of where you have to check yourself and make sure you're doing it right. But
that's true. Something else I've also realized, I used to be, well, this is partially Instagram, but I used to be almost compulsive about making sure I saw everything. And so back in the day when Instagram, now they just like refresh your feed, you know? And but when everything was like chronological, I would scroll down to make sure I saw everything.
Yeah.
And nowadays, like,
I don't even look at
feed I don't
posts.
Care. I mostly look at stories.
I look at stories and I only look at the people I care about most of the time, which is only changing my algorithm like even more. And that's it.
Yeah.
I never go on Twitter. It's too overwhelming.
Oh,
too many
I haven't been
topics.
On Twitter since my tweets were due last semester.
I want to delete Snapchat, but I have so many memories in it. And then like every day they'll come up and it's like 4 years ago, 5 years ago. And
I'm jealous
everyone
has that.
I haven't had
Snapchat in so long.
I have my group chat with my friends from high school and we all send them like each other the like memories and stuff, and we comment, and that's the only reason I have Snapchat, because it's really fun to look back on those.
I think I care just like less about missing out on like Instagram, because I'm like, what am I really missing out on?
Well, it's like also the people, if you're only following the people that you know and talk to, they shouldn't have to go to social media to figure out what's going on in your life. Like that should just happen naturally.
Yeah. Like if I only found out you were engaged like from social media, like I would be a little sad, not gonna lie. So thankfully that didn't happen.
No, that's why.
But
I made sure to tell like anybody important to me not through social media, because I'd be hurt.
Yeah. So there was something else I wanted to touch on. I'm trying to think of. Oh, so I don't know if you ever knew that I did this, but last semester for my mag and feature class, I locked my phone in a box for 3 whole days. Did I ever tell you about that?
I think I remember, because you sent a message in like the
probably the PRC,
and you were
something.
Like, I'm not going to be on my phone till Sunday.
Yeah. So I literally gave my phone to someone for 3 days. And so I didn't have social media, but I also like could not text anyone or like call anyone or anything. And it was actually kind of wild. I feel like after that, and I kind of forgot what it felt like because that was a while ago, and now I'm so consumed in my phone again. But after that, I was like, I need to take more breaks just because it was the weirdest thing. But also, the world is so formed around, like, smartphones nowadays. Like, it's
– yeah.
If someone else didn't have a smartphone, like, we went out to eat. Like, we went to get Pizookies, and, like, the menu is, like, a QR code.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, it's fine that I don't have my phone because all my friends do.
Yeah.
But, like, if none of us had phones
– yeah.
Be absolutely bonkers.
They used to do this thing at my high school, and they stopped, like, 2 years – it was for seniors, and they stopped doing it, like, 2 years before I was a senior. But they would do – it was for the Bible class. They would do like 24-hour breaks, and so one day of the year, you couldn't go on your phone, your computer, and you couldn't talk. And it was this challenge for the seniors for 24 hours to just listen, to shut things out, and just no talking, no phones. And they would like walk around. I think they had like a sticker, like a pin or something, and it was like, I can't talk, like, I'm doing, like, it's for a project. Or it was, like, something funny like that.
Wow.
And I don't know why they
stopped
doing it, but it was, like, 24 hours where you had to go without, and then they did, like, a reflection thing about it. But I remember, I thought it was pretty cool.
I don't think I've ever gone 24 hours without talking since I've learned to talk. Probably even before that,
I was
blabbering. I
don't think most people have, so it's okay.
I don't think I could. I really like to talk, but that would be... It's a form of rest. Not talking?
No, it's not.
It's not?
No. How would that be a form of rest?
I don't know. Mentally? My head would just be going insane.
Because you're just talking in your head, so how does that...
Oh, that's true. You're still talking.
Yeah.
It's not
just
loud.
To yourself. Like,
me just fills up like 8 journals in 24 hours. Honestly. So crazy. Okay. One last question. This is something that I've been seeing so much on social media, and I think it's, like, kind of a hard topic to address, but just, like, the idea of privacy and how have we, like, forsaken privacy by indulging in social media and, like, not only being on the platform, but, like, trying to be real and authentic and vulnerable. Like, what do you think about that? Do you have thoughts?
I think privacy is what you make of it. And I think people are only gonna see what you let them. I mean, I know there's some people, like, and going back to celebrities, like, they don't always have a choice what people see because people are invasive and there's paparazzi and stuff. But I think on, like, a more average, like, normal level, like us, like, privacy is what you make of it.
That's interesting. I think that's true.
And, like, it's only people's business if you want to make it people's business, which is something I've learned, I think, a lot in the past couple of years of it's not everything needs to be other people's business.
Mm.
It's okay to keep things private, and there's nothing wrong about that, and there's nothing – being private is not like you're being shameful about it, but some things are just not for the public.
Everyone's business.
Yeah, some things are not everyone's business.
And I think that can go both ways, too. I think recently a lot of people are like, do you feel like you don't have privacy? You're like, you're giving that up. Like, why would you do that? But for me, I feel like I connect more, and I would rather, like, show up in that space. And, like, I posted a picture of me, like, literally crying and eating ice cream for dinner in my car, like, on my Instagram story. And, like, to me, it's just, like, this relatability. But there's also things that I don't show the whole world,
and
you know?
I think you should be able to control what you want private. And, like if you post a photo of yourself crying, that really only affects you.
Yeah.
But, like, if you were to post a photo of someone else crying and they weren't okay with it, like, that's not cool. And you just hurt their privacy. And so it's, like, you all – I have to be able to set boundaries.
Yeah.
Like, if you have, I'm not saying, like, this pointing at Anna. I'm just saying, like, if you have friends who don't have good privacy boundaries, then you have to, like, set those.
That's good. Like, you are, like, honestly the gatekeeper of your privacy. And, like, you can choose what privacy means to you, in a sense. It's interesting. I like that. Wow.
And like telling, there's some, like some people I don't tell certain things to because I know it won't, my privacy won't stay with them and they won't, you know, honor my privacy. Mm-hmm. And so you also just have to know, like, who are you telling what and will it stay with them? Because not everything needs to be every person's business.
That's true, too. Not everything has to be, like, only your business.
Yeah, like, I have some friends that I'll talk to some things in my life about.
Mm-hmm.
And some friends that I'm like, oh, I talk to them about this. And some things I'll just talk to, like, Nick about. And so it's just because one thing is public to one person doesn't mean it's public to all those people who are important to
mm-hmm.
you. It's okay to only talk, like, to have those boundaries.
Yeah.
As long as it's not, like, unhealthy to a sense where you're, like, hiding things that are hurtful to yourself.
No, I would agree. And I think even that's something that I've had to learn because I'm the kind of person where I'm like, I'll tell everyone everything.
100%.
That's
how I am too. And so I've had to learn, like, it's not everyone's business.
Yeah.
And I used to do that with my relationship where I would, like, tell everyone. I was always talking about the bad and never the good.
Mm.
And so people were starting to get really bad images of what my relationship was because they were like, and then I realized, I was like, well, I'm only telling people the bad.
Mm-hmm.
And also, one, it's not their business at all. I should stop.
Yeah.
And not because I'm hiding the bad, but because where is this getting me?
Yeah.
I'm hurting someone else's privacy.
That's good. I think, boundaries. That needs to be, like, a whole nother episode. I need to get, like, a panel of women on here, and we can all talk about boundaries because
boundaries are really good.
Boundaries. Okay, my last little note. Wait, who's the author? Boundaries. The book is literally called Boundaries. Have you not read it?
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
I can look it up
it's
for you,
so good. I recommend it. That book. I feel like it's dramatic to say it changed my life, but I actually kind of think that it did because I used to not know what boundaries were. You see it?
Yeah. Henry Cloud.
Henry Cloud.
When to say yes, how to say no, to take control of your life.
It sounds really cheesy, but
it's so good.
All
self-help books sound creepy.
Yeah.
Not creepy, cheesy.
I think especially from a biblical perspective, I used to be like, oh, I can't be a Christian and have boundaries. Like, which,
what?
Don't believe that.
That doesn't make any sense.
No, I know it doesn't make any sense, but in my head, okay, so how many things have I believed that make no sense?
Oh my gosh, I have a funny anecdote after that I would love to include in this podcast when you're done too about our friendship.
Okay, and we'll do a whole nother episode on boundaries. But yeah, I used to be like, oh, like I have to like be loving and gracious and like I had no boundaries. Okay, what's your anecdote?
Okay.
I'm dying.
Anna and I had this thing, I don't know when it started, but I would tell Anna every time she apologized, she had to give me $5. Was it $5 or a dollar?
It was $5.
$5. And I used this method.
Sound like a...
No. I was like, Anna, every time you apologize, think that you have to pay someone $5 because you're going to realize how much you apologize.
I don't think I say sorry as much.
You don't. And I'm not saying that it's because of me, but also I think it worked because after like the third time we were like, I told you and then like 3 weeks later we were like getting coffee and you would like almost say I'm sorry and then you would like catch yourself. And I don't know, I just always think, sometimes I think about how like I would tell, I would literally be like, I never actually took money from Anna. It was more like metaphorical. But it makes you realize how much you say sorry.
It's so true. I really don't think I even say it that much anymore.
You don't.
I haven't thought about that. So.
But when we met, you would always apologize for everything.
Everything.
And I was like, Anna, stop. You have to give me $5.
And
it worked.
Everything. Wow. We've known each other for a long time now.
Since.
So crazy. Like a year and a half. Yeah.
Was it fall of
2019?
Yeah, okay.
That's
my
a long time.
Year. I'm so confused. Time is real. Yeah.
Well, thank you for joining us on this lovely episode of the Girls Gather podcast. Do you have any closing remarks?
No, just that I love Anna and this was really fun.
You're so sweet. Okay, well, I will see you all
record another podcast.
Yes, we are about to go record another podcast because when I said I have 4 podcasts, I am not joking. So if you want to hear my voice on some other platforms, get excited for that. But have a great day, and I will see you in a few Thursdays.